Welcome to the first ever edition of The Working. I'm Evan.
Yes. Working title. I'm Javier.
And this is our year-end awards for 2023 across the world of wrestling. We have a variety of categories that we need to talk about and give out our hardware for the year of 2023. A great year for wrestling.
Incredible. Incredible. So much going on in and out of the ring. So much growth, so much prosperity. More than anything, I think we can all come together and say wrestling is hot right now.
So hot right now. Wrestling, so hot right now.
Yes. Outstanding. Everything. Everything, it's everywhere. It's great. Like, so many matches that I could
AEW's
consider here.
AEW's putting on outstanding matches. WWE hasn't been hotter. TNA is back.
Yes.
TNA's, like, back. New Japan is doing stuff. It's good. Everything's good. So, wrestling fans, we have lots to appreciate. So, we're going to go back and forth. We both have picks for the awards, so two people are getting awards, unless we agree on something, which would be a rarity. But you never know. You never know. So we're going to go back and forth introducing awards and deciding which one we're going to talk about. Javier, I'm going to give you the floor. Oh. You can pick our first award that we give out tonight. As I say in the middle of the day.
I'm going to start on a downer. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
We're choosing worst match.
Okay. Who is your pick for worst match of the year?
I listed a couple.
Okay.
Baron Corbin versus Gable Steveson from the Great American Bash edition of NXT was awful. It was a bad match.
Is that your honorable mention?
No. Yes, these are honorable mentions.
Okay.
Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler from SummerSlam. Bad match.
Yep.
The Mountain Dew pitch black match between, unfortunately, the final match of Bray Wyatt's career versus LA Knight was bad. It was a bad match.
Yep.
But nothing, and I mean nothing, comes close to my worst match of the year. Jeff Jarrett versus Jeff Hardy in that Texas Chainsaw Massacre match.
August 16th, 2023, Dynamite is a bad match. Leatherface shows up. He swings a chainsaw. Jeff Jarrett bleeds a lot. Like, it's a weird
match.
It's
so bad. It ends in a DQ.
It's all bad. So congratulations to Jeff and Jeff on their award. Fantastic. So
did you also have it?
I did not. So my honorable mentions were, you hit most of them, Steveson versus Corbin. I had Jeff Jarrett versus Hardy as an honorable mention. I also had John Cena versus Austin Theory as one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
I was considering it based on where it should have been versus where it ended up being. My worst match of the year goes to Pat McAfee and The Miz at WrestleMania 39.
I forgot that was a thing.
I know what you're saying. Evan, how could it not be Shane McMahon versus The Miz from night two? Well, that's because it was saved by the greatest improvisational performance of Snoop Dogg's career. He has never freestyled better than when he hit a fucking people's elbow on The Miz when he's not supposed to. Outstanding. So I give it to Pat McAfee and The Miz. Congratulations to them on their hardware. All right. Let's just stick in the downer train. Let's get the downer ones out of the way before we get to the fun ones. Worst moment of the year.
Oh, God.
I have some honorable mentions. Cody not being able to finish the story yet. It should have happened.
It should have happened.
The Ronda Rousey heel turn.
Oh, God.
It felt like lifeless. I'm really excited for her to be in like ROH. Like, I think that's going to be fun for her, but like,
I don't know if she's actually going to be there though.
I know, but I want her to be there really bad. Speaking of there, AEW doesn't know how to showcase women's wrestling for most of the year.
Yes.
So those are all my honorable mentions, but the worst moment is Vince McMahon's mustache and him coming back. Those two things as like a package deal are the worst moment of the year.
I didn't even have that mentioned, but now that you do mention it,
Vince McMahon coming back is the worst thing that happened to wrestling this year.
Yes, I want to agree with you, but I already casted my vote.
All right, yes, of course.
Yes, Cody Rhodes losing to Roman Reigns was in my honorable mentions. So was AEW's women's division dying a death very slowly every week. Which is unfortunate considering
the
talent level there.
Just give them TV time.
Just let them do stuff.
Anyways,
some other things that I had that you did not. Bloodline story dying. It is dead. It has been milked dry.
It's very dry.
Over. Please stop.
Yep.
And the Raw after WrestleMania.
Was bad. Was bad. And oft after an outstanding WrestleMania.
Yes. Yeah. However, my pick for the year is everything involving CM Punk from All In.
Yeah, Brawl Out. What? Yeah,
no, the Brawl Out was last year.
Okay, technically Brawl Out was last
All
year.
In, just what happened at All In, CM Punk, like, just going off on Jack Perry, apparently threatening Tony Khan, getting his shit absolutely fired because of it. It was a glaring, like, just black spot on what should have been an incredible moment for that company.
And yeah.
It's the worst moment for me because, like, what the fuck, man?
Hey, at least we covered both major wrestling companies in the United States with our bad moments.
Yes.
Vince McMahon showed up, though. Goddamn. All right, so the worst ones are out of the way. Everything else now is positive. Javier, which award do you want to go to next?
We're going to go to... Oh, this is tough. You know, I am going to go happy. A little bit happy. Well, let's go with the Mountain Dew Pitch Black moment of the year.
Yes, all of our awards, of course, are either sponsored or named in honor of people. So the Mountain Dew Pitch Black moment of the year. What do you have for your honorable mentions?
So my honorable mentions are the Bad Bunny entrance from Backlash.
Yep.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens beating the Usos in the main event of Night 1 at WrestleMania. And CM Punk returning to WWE.
Oh, okay. What is your choice?
My choice is sentimental to me personally, and that is why I picked it. It is Eddie Kingston beating Claudio Castagnoli at the New York show that they do, the Arthur Ashe show. I always forget what that's called.
I always forget what it's called too, but it's the one at the Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Yes, the Grand Slam, Dynamite Grand Slam. It was beautiful. Him finally not only just beating Claudio and not putting to bed, but finally getting the one up on a feud that has literally lasted over a decade.
Forever.
And winning the title that he has literally dreamed of winning for the last 20 plus years. Like, it was a beautiful moment. It was an emotional moment. And I'm happy that it happened to him because he absolutely deserved it.
That's great. Now he gets another award. That's very exciting. Congratulations to Eddie. My honorable mentions. Bad Bunny's entrance in Puerto Rico is in the top three entrances maybe of all time.
Yes.
In wrestling.
100% agree.
It's crazy. The WWE-UFC merger, as much as maybe you don't like it, it is still like a monumental moment in the history. Yeah. Like the landscape of wrestling. You can't
Vince McMahon
that.
No longer owns the company.
Wild. But he does own a tiny mustache. Sami Zayn finally turning on Roman Reigns was an absolute moment. I consider just saying like that whole, like pretty much all of Zayn's January and February could have been the answer.
I almost put his SmackDown appearance in Montreal where he came out with the old theme back and everything.
The answer is CM Punk returning to WWE.
Yeah.
It's the craziest fucking thing that's happened in a crazy year.
Yeah.
It's... You and I think we're both on record of saying, like, it's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be cool? Like, I think that's both where we both fell. What a moment for him just to arrive.
Like, just the way it happens.
Yeah. And now, it like, again, this could age terribly. We all know CM Punk. The background
see
is
the
there.
See the previous award.
Yeah. But for now, it's very exciting.
Yes. It's an exciting time. I hope all goes well for him. And all parties involved, because pro wrestling is better when CM Punk is just around.
It's true. Let's move to the Ryan Anderson Most Improved Award, named after an NBA player who won the Most Improved Award in 2011, 2012, and then was not very good for a very long time. I have lots of honorable mentions here. I think I have four. Tiffany Stratton has definitely improved her game. Solo Sikoa, which is interesting because I think it's just he's adjusted his wrestling to the WWE style really well, and his everything around his wrestling has gotten better. His character work has gotten better. Everything around him has gotten better. Julia Hart absolutely has had a very well, like a much improved year.
Yeah.
Trick Williams is just outstanding now, but it has to go to the man who has survived prison time. The son to mommy. It's, of course, Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, he's been excellent. He's been one of the best heels in the company. I think he's actually wrestled the most.
He's had the most events this year. Yeah, he's had like a ton of TV main events. I think he's third on matches for the year for the company. And this is all lost in the fact like he is a great, you know, he's a great character right now.
He's also a child. He's like 28.
He has gotten so much better in the ring.
Yes.
Like, when he was a baby face with his dad, as like, and that was the whole thing. People were like just tired of him because like in the ring, he was a little choppy. Like you could see that it was there, but it was not there yet. He's really good now. Like he's very smooth. So Dominic Mysterio for the in-ring and the outer ring, most improved. Congratulations to Dom.
Yes. Shout out to Dom. On my list, but not my winner.
Okay. Who else is on your list?
You actually mentioned like pretty much everyone. Okay. Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton.
Yep.
I threw in with question marks next to her name because I think they were established, but I do think that their presentation, it's like the, like in the, how the NBA really does the most improved award now where it's like, you know, you kind of expect these people to make the leap at some point. But so when they like do
acknowledgement that they have made the leap.
Yeah, you know, like I put LA Knight in there because he made a significant leap.
True, absolutely.
I put Orange Cassidy in here because he made a significant leap to sort of being, you know, borderline main eventer. But my winner is someone that you mentioned in passing a little bit there.
Okay.
It's Julia Hart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Julia Hart went from not a good wrestler, not a good character. Like she barely wrestled all of 2020. Like it was, she joined the House of Black and then she barely had matches. To now she's the freaking TBS champion and she deserves it. She's putting on really good matches, you know, stuff like that. Like you see the improvement, not just as a character, but as a wrestler, as a talker, all this other stuff. Like I think Julia Hart has a really big future ahead of her, and 2023 is absolutely the year where she took that leap into not only just getting consistent television time, but really being a big player in a women's division over there at AEW.
You're right. Also, the people that were at least on my list in terms of their ages, like wrestling is fine for a while. Solo is 30, Tiffany's 24, Trick is 29, Dominic is 26, and Julia Hart is 22.
Dominic's 26?
26.
I thought he was like 2 years older than me. Brother's my age. What the hell?
Brother's your age, and he's served hard time. All right, you get to choose our next award. Where are we going?
Ooh. Next, we are going to the Natalya and Friends Women's Tag Team of the Year.
The Natalya and Friends Award, of course, named after the fact that Natalya has tons of tag team partners in her career since the tag division has started. Yes. Most notably, of course, the Divas of Doom. But Natalya just always has a friend with her to challenge
for tag titles. Now it's Tegan Knox.
Yeah, she's just picking friends. Natalya is like the most popular woman in the locker room, too, which that tracks.
Yeah, it makes sense. They always kind of pair her with someone, too, that's like maybe not like the biggest worker or whatever. Yeah. So that she can kind of bring them along a little bit.
Yeah, which is wild because it's like, that means,
now it's just young people.
That means she's the Billy Gunn to a bunch of people's road dogs. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
All right. Who do you have as your honorable mentions?
Chelsea Green and whoever.
I put Chelsea Green and Piper Niven as an honorable mention.
Let's put Chelsea Green and whoever. This was a short list for me because, quite frankly, there just wasn't that many like teams that I could think of.
Yeah.
Over in Impact Wrestling, MK Ultra.
Yes, Killer they were Kelly also
and
on my list.
Slamovich they're fantastic.
Every time. And so I will say, incredible. I've only seen one of their matches in full, but every time I'm on Twitter and I just see clips, I'm like, oh, it looks really good. Like, they're doing some good shit. Yes. So shout out to them.
Yeah. Killer Kelly was great in NXT UK. And then Marsha Slamovich is really good. She's wrestled at the promotion owned by Master P in New York, and I'm blanking on the name right now. But she's really, really good. And as a pairing, I've only seen a handful of their matches together, but they're so good. And then my winners, I don't even know if this is officially a tag team. But honestly, do not care. They won for me because they're my favorite pairing. Athena and Billy Starks.
Okay.
In Ring of Honor are so fun. They main evented as of recording last night at Death Before Dishonor and or Final Battle. Actually, I have no idea now.
Final Battle.
And it was a fucking great match. And they're continuing the story. Athena finally acknowledged Billy Starks in a positive light after the match, and it's a great story. They've wrestled many a tag team matches together, so I am convinced that they are a tag team, and they are my favorite women's tag team of the year, so they get my vote.
I had Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. I had MK Ultra, and I may have cheated for my answer, but I don't really care. Damage Control is the answer. Damage Control is the Natalya and Friends Women's Tag Team of the Year.
Yes, I will give you that one. I'll give it to you.
I think they should be. I think that's just where they're at. I think that's just, it just makes the most sense to me. Yeah. We also haven't really agreed on, this is interesting. We have like a lot of the same things, but we haven't really, like we haven't landed on one. I'm pulling one out. I'm seeing if we are going to land on this one. The Ishii Stone Pitbull Haas of the Year. This is named, of course, yes, after Tomohiro Ishii, one of the greatest Haas of all time. And also, we love Haas wrestling on this podcast. We celebrate Haas Month every August, as we all should. You know, happy season's greetings to all those who celebrate Haas Month. I have three honorable mentions. They are, one of them is Ishii, who had a really good year this year. Like, yeah, just consistent.
Showed up on Dynamite a few times.
Yeah, outstanding everywhere he goes. Samoa Joe has had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
He's like a... Some people would say he's a borderline Haas. I think he's just
happens to be. He's not a borderline Haas. He's a Haas.
He's an athletic Haas, so it tricks your brain.
He's a big boy.
The runner-up is Powerhouse Hobbs.
Runner-up?
Runner-up. And I think to Bron Breakker. I think...
Is Bron Breakker a Haas?
I consider Bron Breakker a Haas. In the same mold that we consider Brock Lesnar a Haas, I consider Bron Breakker a Haas.
You know what? I will give that one to you.
Yes, right. And I think Bron Breakker had a hell of a year. I think the heel turn had some rocky footing to start, but he has landed the plane.
Yes, I think in the ring, he's landed the plane. I think the stories that they've thrown at him are so dumb. Also, can he just win a match?
I would love for him to just win a match, but I will say in the Iron Survivor match, he looked outstanding.
Yeah. He's got to do something about the beard, though. That fake beard, it ain't working for
him. At least it's better than Lexus King. Based on your reaction, I assume I know who won your award.
I have two names on this list, and that's it.
That's it? Okay.
I put Brock Lesnar, because I thought that his matches with Cody were great.
Yeah.
And my winner is Samoa Joe, like unanimously. This is the, like, I put little asterisks in front and next to the winner. And like, depending on the number of asterisks is how confident I am in this as a winner. Samoa Joe has the most, Samoa Joe has the second most asterisks. I gave him three. The most locked in one was the worst match. I gave that one five. But yeah, Samoa Joe is absolutely, I mean, the longest reigning TV champion that ROH, I think, has ever had. He put on terrific matches. The matches with MJF, matches he's had throughout the year were just so good. He's been presented in both Ring of Honor and AEW as just a killer. This is some of the best presentation Samoa Joe has had since his run in Impact Wrestling, or at least his run in the NXT main roster or like main event scene when he was down there. That's not to say that his run on the main roster in WWE wasn't good. I just think his presentation here as just this killer, is just, it's some of the best work of his career.
It's kind of, if you boil down where his career was meant to be, this is the exact lane he should be in at this point.
Yes, yes,
they have found the exact spot for him. So I'll agree with that. I thought you were going to say Powerhouse Hobbs based on your reaction when I said he was the runner up.
No, he shouldn't even be on here. My man joined QTV at some point this year.
Survived, so he deserves props for that.
Haas
he survived.
Get the fuck out of here. Maybe next year.
You are next for picking an award. Where are we going?
Ooh, let's see. Who haven't we picked? You know what? Next, we are going to one that I don't know if we're going to agree on. Because I couldn't even agree on it myself. I'm still sort of like iffy on it.
Okay.
We're going with the Head Cheese Tag Team of the Year.
Named, of course, after legendary tag team Head Cheese with Steve Blackman favorite. And Al Snow.
My honorable, I only had three names listed. The winner and then two honorable mentions. The honorable mentions for me, FTR.
Yep.
Because I thought this was kind of a down year. By their standards, compared to their 2022.
Weirdly, they were number one in the PWI tag teams, and I was like, but this hasn't been their best year. Like, I don't know. There's been others. So
I also think that the PWI thing is taking into account stuff from the end of last year.
Yeah, and just a lot of in-ring. Yeah. It's a lot of in-ring.
Yeah. FTR are an amazing tag team, and this isn't a slight on them by any means. It's just, you know, I think that I have to hold them to a higher standard because of who they are. And compared to that standard, they fell a tad bit short.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
Okay, so who's your other honorable mention?
Bishamon. The team of Goto and, oh my God, why am I blanking? Why am I blanking right now?
I'm liking this. This is great. This is a struggle for you. I'm really enjoying this.
I'm blanking. Yoshihashi. They've held
write things in your notes.
Yeah, they've held the IWGP tag titles for like basically the entire year. I think they won it back in like March, and they've held it ever since. And I like to give them their props for that one. I've not seen any of their matches. I'm sorry. In 2023, I'm just not watching a Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi tag team match. I'm sure they're great, but I'm just not doing that. I have a lot of time. I don't have that much free time.
They won the titles in June, but they also had them from January to April before they lost the Aussie Open. So,
who like quickly had to turn around because they no longer are a part of New Japan.
And also Mark Davis suffered an injury. All right, so who is your tag team of the year?
My tag team of the year wasn't the longest run as a tag team, but I think they had the most impactful grouping of the year. I'm giving it to Sammy and Kevin Owens.
Our first agreement in the awards, a unanimous decision. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, the Head Cheese Award for Men's Tag Team of the Year.
Yes, I agree.
As they should be.
I agree with you because I picked them.
I'm so happy that they just had this moment to like actually come together. The story was very like it was right for them. All the parts were in play. They main evented WrestleMania and won the tag titles.
Generico main evented a night of WrestleMania.
They did. Unbelievable. And the match quality for the matches, not just tag matches, but like with just them, but sometimes like multi-mans and sometimes they're singles. Like everything they did this year was really, really good.
I don't think they ever had a bad match.
I don't think they had a bad match. My other honorable mentions, I also had FTR. I had the Judgment Day, who also, like, people are getting a little tired of, I think, a little bit overexposed, but still really good work. They have been they have been the backbone of a lot of programming for WWE this year. I also put, this is like half a most improved, half a tag team of the year. Shout out to the Guns, man.
Yes.
Like Austin and Colton Gunn have been unreal this year. I
think the last couple of months, they've just kind of like kind of cooled off the wayside a little bit.
But for a while, man, they were on top of the world. Gun Club and the Acclaimed, because the Acclaimed started the year extremely hot. So,
yeah, I mean, the Acclaimed went from a tag team to a trio, and that's why I couldn't really consider them as much.
Because they got daddy ass. All right, we move to the Shoot of the Year, brother. There is no honorable mentions for the Shoot of the Year, brother.
No, there's one.
There is one answer. It is Jack Perry looking at the camera and saying, "Real glass."
It's real glass.
It's real glass moment. It's spawned alternate universes. Like, this is a what if moment, 100%.
Yeah, that particular moment literally changed the course of history of the two biggest promotions in the United States.
Yes. At AEW All In, he did the spot on the is on the car, and he used real glass, and he looks at the camera and says real glass, and that was a whole thing with him and Punk, because they didn't want to use glass in the spot, and it leads to Punk like fucking assaulting him backstage and threatening Tony Khan and getting kicked, like being fired from the company, and then going to WWE, and AEW has this whole thing because technically CM Punk had the real world title. Like, so much shit came from one little like aside, one little improv from Jack Perry.
And now he might be the devil. And it's annoying as fuck. And I don't like it.
Because did you realize people are like, oh, like three of the devil's most recent attacks have involved glass? Yeah. And it's like, ah, it's real glass, baby.
He's also like a really skinny devil. Jack Perry's very skinny.
Devil. I'm glad we agree on that. Like, it's the only answer. If you have other things for Shoot of the Year, throw it in the comments, but that's gotta be one.
I can't think of any, so for me it's that.
All right, we've got, I believe, four awards left. Four awards left. Where are we going next?
Next, we're going to the Melina versus Alicia Fox. Match of the year, baby.
Oh, so many honorable mentions this time.
I have three matches listed total because I kept my list short and concise.
I never went more than four honorable mentions, as if, like, you know, because, you know, the like the Oscars and stuff, they have five nominees. So go ahead.
I respect that.
Give me your honorable mentions.
A recent match, Swerve versus Hangman Page, the Texas Death Match from Full Gear. It was so good.
So good.
So good. So, so good. And then the match that I really thought about, I was this close to making it because I just love it so much. The Iron Match from Revolution this year, MJF versus Bryan Danielson.
Yep.
I think it's the greatest Iron Man match of all time. I love that match so much.
Yeah, like it's the so closest I felt to, like, I think my personal favorite Iron Man match is still Kurt and Brock. I think you probably same boat, but like,
no,
this is
now my personal favorite.
But that's the thing, is like, I remember when I was watching this, I was like, this feels as much like as I felt when I was like 12 watching Kurt and Brock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a great match. But unfortunately, the best match of the year happened on January 4th.
Okay.
As it typically does every year.
Yeah.
Because we had Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega at the Tokyo Dome. And while the sequel to it was really good, the first one was way better. My pick for match of the year is Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega. Their match from Wrestle Kingdom 17? I think it's 17.
That sounds right. You can Google that. That sounds right.
This year.
Great picks. Great picks all around. On my honorable mentions, MJF versus Danielson in the Iron Man match. Swerve versus Adam Page in the death match at Full Gear, because it made Swerve a star, and I think it also made Adam Page a bigger star.
Yes.
Very rare to come out of a match with both people being better than they were. I put Kenny versus Ospreay from Forbidden Door because I didn't see the Wrestle Kingdom match.
Understandable.
So trying to be authentic, I didn't have it, so I just went.
We applaud you for your honesty.
I wanted to throw a women's match on there as an honorable mention, and so I think Charlotte versus Rhea from WrestleMania 39 was the best women's match of the year.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
But it wasn't the best match of WrestleMania 39 because there was some big meaty men slapping meat on night two. My match of the year is Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther for the Intercontinental title WrestleMania 39 night two.
It's a good pick.
I'm a changed man after that match.
It gave you everything you wanted.
It's everything I've ever wanted in my fucking life. It's outstanding. So shout out to that match.
Yeah.
And you know what?
No, I'm not going to blame you for it. It's a great match.
We got three awards left. We have Men's Wrestler of the Year, Women's Wrestler of the Year, and Wrestler We Love, which is going to be the last award. So I'm going to go to the Rene Dupree Award for Best Men's Wrestler this year. Again,
this was tough for me.
So tough. So many outstanding competitors. I have four honorable mentions as normal for the workies. Will Ospreay, because I just appreciate, I know he had a top-notch year. I didn't see enough of it to make him my Wrestler of the Year, but shout out to Will Ospreay. I know he's had probably one of the best in-ring years anybody has had since wrestling was invented. So,
yes,
good for him. Cody Rhodes has had a really good year. I know that it kind of felt weird after he didn't, you know, end the story, but from January to WrestleMania, he was outstanding. He had some things to do. He's been carrying. He's the guy.
He really is. He's been carrying so hard.
It's been really good. Speaking of guys who also carry, Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people are forgetting how good he is sometimes because he's a goof. Like, he's a guy, he's got like the goofy outfits and whatever. No, Seth Rollins is outstanding. In terms of like in-ring and character work this year, MJF. I never thought people would like him.
Yep.
I genuinely thought he was just going to be the fucking asshole his whole life. And now he is like an earnest, honest babyface, but he's the same character. It's the most authentic style of Switch.
It's great.
He has just changed who he's shitty to. And, you know, shout out to him and Tits McGee. Like, good for them.
Piper.
But as a continuation of my last award, my Rene Dupree Award goes to Gunther.
Wow.
You cannot look me in the eye and tell me that the Intercontinental Championship doesn't mean maybe as much as Roman Reigns' fucking titles do right now.
Oh, no, I'm telling you 100%. I think the Intercontinental Championship held by Gunther is probably the most valuable title in WWE right now. The amount of like prestige that has been given to that title because
by the reign.
Yes, by the reign itself. Like Roman has defended the title what, 4 times this year?
Yeah, not like, enough.
It don't get me wrong, Roman Reigns, like the person that beats Roman Reigns, Cody, should be, will have so much given to them. Like they will earn so much cachet because of doing so. The person that ends up beating Gunther will have to go to fucking war to do so. Because he doesn't win by interference. He doesn't win by cheating. He just goes in there and he beats your fucking ass for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then he gives you the best match you'll ever have. And he's winning.
Roman Reigns defended the title 4 times in 2023.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man.
I get it, like the idea of, because people are going to say, you know, him holding it for a long time matters, and it, you know, but
it Gunther's does, holding but presentation, it. Man.
Gunther's holding it for so long and is here every week whipping fucking Imperium into shape and then beating the shit out of Chad Gable and Ricochet and anyone else they throw at him and winning in a variety of ways. He, like, weirdly, Gunther has, like, adopted the Zack Sabre Jr. method of not knowing how he's going to beat a guy till he gets into the match. And sure. That's what I love about Zack Sabre Jr. is the fact that he can win with like 12 different things. And now Gunther does that too. He's my favorite wrestler I've watched all year. He wins the Rene Dupree Award for me. Who do you have?
We overlapped a little bit on the honorable mentions, but I only had 4 names listed. And surprisingly, honestly, it should have been 5 because you're right. Gunther should have been an honorable mention for me, but he wasn't. But I'm going to throw him on there as a 5th one now. I had Seth Rollins.
Yep.
Who's very, 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 very good. I think he was number 1 on the PWI 500.
He was.
And he absolutely deserves it. He has been carrying the company on a work rate basis in the main events. Like, he is a champion, and he's carrying himself like a champion. It is just so unfortunate that it is that championship. MJF has been the guy in AEW, and he has done such a great job. And like you said, he navigated a babyface turn in the best possible way.
In an organic way.
The most over guy in that company. And he will win this award one day, but not today. Orange Cassidy was someone I seriously considered for this award.
Yep.
Orange Cassidy with that. His reign as the international championship was incredible. And then his like sort of switch into, I'm going to be a fucking main eventer now.
Yeah.
And me and John Moxley are just going to do this. Like, that was incredible. I like it. Genuinely, he main evented a pay-per-view this year and deserved to. And it was incredible. And the way he presented the Intercontinental Championship throughout the year was just, it's, in my opinion, it's the AEW equivalent of what Gunther has been doing with the IC title. It's just it's so good. But my wrestler of the year goes to a man who I think is not just the best wrestler in the world, but I think is literally on a generational run of matches right now. Like, this is the best performing wrestler since 2017 Okada, 2016, 15, 16, 17 Okada. Like, Will Ospreay is my wrestler of the year, and I think that no one has had a better year, because not only did he do it in New Japan, he did in AEW, he did in Impact, he did it in freaking Revolver. He did it in GCW. He did it everywhere. Everywhere, any promotion that man stepped into this year, he not only put a spotlight on them, but he gave whoever the hell he was performing in, whether it was Speedball Mike Bailey, whether it's freaking Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door, whether or the Tokyo Dome, whether it doesn't matter, whoever it is, he is giving you your best match. And for him, it's like his 5th. The best match. Like, he has changed his style so much. It's no longer this reckless abandon. It is this methodical, like, art. He goes in there and he puts on a spectacle every single time. And it's incredible. And, like, he just signed a big money deal with AEW. I think that has to factor in there as well. Like, no one in wrestling has had a better year than Will Ospreay as a wrestler. And for that, I had to give him his flowers because he to me is my Rene Dupree Men's Wrestler of the Year.
Will Ospreay has 8 matches in 2023 that are rated 5 stars or higher by Dave.
Yeah. And it's
what the fuck?
Could be more, honestly. He's so fucking good.
Of his matches, he's so good. Of his matches that have been rated this calendar year, there are only 2 that fall below 4 and below 4. There's only 2 that fall below 4, and they're a singles match against Tongaloa from the Climax tourney.
Sounds right.
And a 4-person tag or an 8-person tag at Rampage where he teamed with Swerve, Kyle Fletcher and Jeff Cobb against Chuck Taylor, Rocky Romero, Trent and Yo. That's it.
Yeah, that sounds about right too.
So an 8-man tag, which isn't gonna get, you know,
just a random Rampage 8-man tag too.
And then Tongaloa. That's it.
Yeah.
Everywhere He's else.
So fucking good. Again, like I can't, like, there are gonna be people that view Will Ospreay as this indie darling, like this indie freaking reckless.
It's that clip with Ricochet. That's the reason.
Yeah. But he has matured so much. He's bordering 30, like he's around 30, if I had to guess. Like his body is matured. He
turned 30 this year.
Yeah,
his body has matured,
and he has reached a point with his body and his wrestling where he's toned down a lot, like so much of that flippy shit. Like honestly, he's in a vein. He's in the same vein as Seth Rollins as far as like the way that they use their body to their advantage more than anything. But he just does it to such a different degree because the guy just knows what the hell he's doing in there. And he's not like, you know, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, Will Ospreay is just that guy. Like the few promos he had on Dynamite or in AEW also showed like this guy could do it on the mic. And honestly, I'm excited for his 2024 because the more TV time he gets, the more well-rounded a performer Will Ospreay gets to become. And
it's going to be dangerous.
Wembley next year, man. If that guy isn't in the main event for the AEW World Title, I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Two awards left. You get to start for our next one.
No, I picked the Rene Dupree Award.
No, I picked the Rene Dupree Award. Oh, so that's
then
why
we're going
talk about Gunter.
Right to the Minami Toyota Women's Wrestler of the Year.
Yes.
I think, honestly, there were 2 choices.
Okay.
And I was struggling to pick one. My honorable mention is someone who deserves all of the flowers that she gets because she won the title at WrestleMania and she absolutely launched herself to being the woman in WWE.
Yeah.
And that's Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is an incredible worker and I wish she had more people to work with. I really, really do because the Raw women's division is not on her level. No one's even like,
no one's close to her
level.
Yeah.
And that's a big
she's
problem.
She's approaching China territory of like, do we have to just have her wrestle the men?
Yeah. And that is the reason why I couldn't give it to her because I just think that the body of work wasn't there for her.
Okay.
The second half of the year.
So who does get it?
This is going to be such a Javier pick and I'm so, I know it is. It's Julia. Julia wins Women's Wrestler of the Year this year. Her 2023 is better than any Japanese woman of the last like 10 years. Or probably since 2016, Mayu Iwatani, honestly. Like she has been so consistently fantastic throughout this entire year, this entire run where she has gone up and down and up and down and up and down, where she's wrestling on New Japan Strong, but also wrestling for Stardom, but also wrestling all over the freaking place. And she is putting on banger after banger after banger after banger. She does not miss. It is the same. It is the same thing with Will Ospreay, but it's Julia. She doesn't miss. She does not miss whatsoever. And she's still so young. She has so much time to do this. She has improved tremendously, not just as a wrestler, but as an overall arching like charismatic figure in wrestling. And I couldn't be more excited to see what she does next, because to me, her 2023 is the best 2023 a female wrestler has had in, I couldn't even tell you, like honestly, probably 2016 Mayu Iwatani. Or well, Becky Lynch in 2018.
I was going to say Becky Lynch's 18-19 was probably up
there. That was beautiful. But I just think the total body of work as a wrestler, it's Julia. It just is.
I need to expand my knowledge into watching Julia. I really do. Because so just the way, and again, I trust your opinion on these things. She's not on my honorable mentions either because I don't have the frame of reference.
Yes, so, and I appreciate your honesty on that.
That is a blind spot for me. Let's go through my honorable mentions quickly. Athena for holding down the ROH women's division for all of it. Considered her just straight up for the award, but
yes, and she should have been, but she fell into the same thing I think Rhea Ripley did, where she just didn't have the people around her to really elevate. You know, mm-hmm. It's really hard when you're just fighting Mercedes Martinez for 3 months every fucking night, and you're trying to also improve Billy Stark's standing because Billy Stark's is only like 18 years old and like all this other stuff. Like she's fighting Layla Hirsch and stuff like that, you know, like there's just give her people. Athena deserves build to be on a bigger platform.
Bianca Belair, people were tired of her because of like LOL John Cena wins, but like at the same time you cannot deny the talent is there.
Yes.
Trinity brought some stuff to Impact,
yes,
in a way that was desperately needed. Deanna Purrazzo also, like, shout out to Deanna for a really good run.
Jordan Grace.
Tony Storm for the character work. Goddamn. Timeless Tony Storm is an outstanding gimmick that has come on the last couple of months. It goes to Rhea Ripley, though. The Manami Toyota Award this year goes to Rhea Ripley. Like, appointment viewing? She somehow became appointment. Like, Rhea Ripley has always been good. But now she is like, she is mommy. Like it's 100%. Like the gimmick is real. It's all there. She is the leader of the Judgment Day. I don't care what anybody else says. She's in charge. She's in charge of the best faction in WWE currently. Like that also counts for something. And as much as you're right that the division around her needs to be built up in a way that gives her some like sustained rivalries, she's so busy with Judgment Day, she kind of doesn't need it at times, but also she elevates the in-ring work of whoever she does work with. So
yeah,
I'm going to commend her for that and give her this award. All right, last award, the King Mabel Award for wrestler we just fucking love and had nowhere else to talk about them.
Yes, this is for our favorite wrestlers of the year.
Honorable mentions, Jon Moxley, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Had a really good year. Had a great really year. Good year.
The ace of AEW.
Truly the ace. Truly the final boss of AEW. Like that's where he's kind of sitting now. Shoo! Chad Gable. Yes. The second they take this man seriously, he's going to get pushed to the moon. And I'm ready for it. I want it to happen in WWE. I don't know if it will, but he has all the capabilities. He has the skills.
He has everything.
Tony Storm, I already talked about. Timeless Tony Storm.
Yep.
Great. Swerve Strickland. Oh. What a run.
What
an ascension we're seeing from Swerve Strickland. What a little bit of growth. Because like Swerve has always been good, but now he's great.
Now he's just, I think that he has reached a level of confidence in himself, in his character, and in his wrestling where like it's
sky's
he's in rare air. He's in rare air right now.
But the first ever King Mabel Award for wrestler that we love, from my end, goes to a guy who's not just good. He's him, Carmelo Hayes. I kept looking for a spot to put Hayes. I'm like, does the match of the year with Dragunov, is that it? No. There's one I like a little better. Men's wrestler of the year? No, there's some guys who had some better years, but there. This is kind of an award for the fact, like the fucking just the it factor that Carmelo Hayes has. He is just him.
He's him.
And I just think he's going to be world champion in like 2 years.
I saw him wrestle this year and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, as you should be. And hey, we bought Stand and Deliver tickets, so we might see him wrestle again in April.
No, but I saw him wrestle. It was a dark match before the, I think a
SmackDown, right?
SmackDown or Raw? Yeah, it might have been SmackDown. But yeah, no, it was great. It was excellent. He's so freaking good. He is an honorable mention on my list. He's not my winner, but I am right there with you. Carmelo Hayes is him. He is that guy, and I saw his match with Grayson Waller last night on SmackDown in that United States tournament thing that they've United States title tournament.
Yeah, the title tournament. Yeah.
And he won and it was a good match. And next he's getting Kevin Owens and
it's going to be great.
Let me tell you something. He's not in there like the spunky baby face. He is right there. He got in Kevin Owens' face while Kevin Owens was having an interview backstage. He was like, "Hey, like I'm not
scared of you.
Here to like I'm not here just to like be here. Like I want this. I need this title."
All right. Who does your King Mabel Award go to?
My honorable mentions, like I mentioned, Carmelo Hayes.
Carmelo.
I had Hook. I love Hook. He's going to be on this every year because I love him. Yeah. Bryan Danielson. This is the long. I have a bunch of people. Io Shirai. Io Sky, sorry.
Yeah.
Cody, one of my favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
MJF. Eddie Kingston. One of your guys. Christian Cage.
Dad.
Great year for Christian Cage.
Father figure.
Arguably the best year, the best overall year of his career.
I'd say it's this or his initial run in TNA. Like those are your two options for the best Christian has ever been.
But for me, this can only go to one individual. A guy who every time I see him on my TV, I know I'm going to be entertained. Whether it's his wrestling, it's his character, it's his personality, or it's him just being the leader of the Academy. My pick for the Mabel, my just fucking favorite guy this year, goes to Chad Gable.
I want to shake your hand. What an outstanding pick.
It goes to Chad Gable. I love this man. That match that he had against Gunther on Raw back in like October or whatever the hell it was, September, was so good. It was like 20, 25 minutes. They let them just go out there. It was an excellent match. I really, really want him to be the guy to beat Gunther. And nothing short of excellence was given by Chad Gable this year. Whether it's on NXT, that mixed tag match that they had a few weeks ago against the whatever the Noam Dar's group is called, was really good. And he's a big part of that. Like he's just all over the place. He's elevating talent left and right, whether it be Otis being positioned back up here again, or Maxxine Dupri finally being, not finally, but
Maxxine
being
Dupri
utilized
a couple months a away from being most improved, like an honorable mention, at least.
She had a really bad match the other day.
Like a couple, like a little bit more consistency and she would have been an honorable mention.
Maybe
for
25.
Most improved. Yeah. 25. Yeah.
But no, keep this up. And she's, again, that is a platform where she's getting elevated. Well, she just had a match against Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Just for her standing.
She got killed, but...
Akira Tozawa is being unleashed in the most entertaining way possible, and I love it. The Alpha Academy has been such a blessing to us wrestling fans this year, and for that, I give nothing but credence to Chad Gable, my pick for the Mabel Award in 2023.
Great choices. We have all of the categories. They are in the description. If you want to also tell us who you have for all of these awards, you can copy it and put it in a comment down below. Thank you for joining us for the first ever Workies. You should follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work on Twitter, on Instagram. Of course, check out our regular podcast. As we're going into the new year, we're taking a little bit of a break, but you can subscribe here to get all the episodes here. Go to wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever. Rate 5 stars. We have tons of episodes. We're about to go into Japanuary, where we dive into Japanese wrestlers for the whole month of January, as well as our 200th episode is coming up. Join us for all of those things and, you know, tune in for a whole year so you're ready for the 2024 Workies. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you then.
Later.